The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 19 to 29. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 19 to 29. In a new national survey, was done in 2017, 18 to 24-year-olds report that having a clear purpose in life is a big part of being a real adult. The problem is that most young people don't feel like they've found that sense of purpose. More than 86% of young adults say that making decisions in line with their purpose makes them an adult. But only 43% say that they actually have a clearer picture of what they want in life. 36% say their career path aligns with life purpose, and only 30% know why they are here. Christine Owellen, a professor at News, coasting is not existing. It's not thriving. The majority of young adults who say they don't have a clear picture of what they want in life also say they are existing but not thriving, while those with purpose more often say that they are thriving. So that's the question at hand today. Have we discovered the meaning of life, or are we still searching? And that's why today I'm going to explain my prop. If you look, that's my prop. People will say, well, Shane, there's nothing there. There's nothing there because I still haven't found what I'm looking for. The question is, are we still searching? Another way to ask this maybe is, do you understand your place in the universe? Or are you still trying to figure out who you are and what you are doing here? Now, of course, Christian, today, we would say an emphatic yes. But let's talk about this a little bit, because this is stuff that we're actually dealing with in our society and our culture today. We do see the consistent search for meaning in our culture today. All you have of trying to find who we are, trying to find our purpose in life, trying to find what in the world am I doing here? But family, as we've seen throughout all of history, and if you look at the history of historic intellectual thought, the amazing thing is that the conclusion of all of these men will still be, I have not found what I'm looking for. Can't find it. And so today we're going to put more of the puzzle pieces together. We're going to find out a little bit more as to why we can't find it. The Word of God declares in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 19 to 29. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 19 to 29. One wise person is stronger than 10 leading citizens of a town. Not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. Should I read that one again? That was good enough for some of you. Don't eavesdrop on others. You may hear your servant curse you, for you know how often you yourself have cursed others. I have always tried my best to let wisdom guide my wise, but it didn't work. Wisdom is always distant and difficult to find. I searched everywhere, determined to find wisdom and to understand the reason for things. I was determined to prove to myself that wickedness is stupid and that foolishness is madness. I discovered that a seductive woman is a trap more bitter than death. Her passion is a snare, and her soft hands are chains. Those who are pleasing to God will escape her, but sinners will be caught in her snare. This is my conclusion, says the teacher. I discovered this after looking at the matter from every possible angle. Now, before I read this next part, everyone needs to understand that this is Solomon, not me. I'm just reading what Solomon wrote. I have been terrified of actually reading this part of Ecclesiastes for a while now. Though I have searched repeatedly, I have not found what I was looking for. Only one out of 1,000 men is virtuous, but not one woman. I'm totally skipping that part when it comes to my exit. Well, to be virtuous, but they have each turned to follow their own downward path. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, and we pray that your word will truly impact our hearts, that we will truly be transformed. Transformed by its power, transformed by the truth, transformed by the light. And so, God, I thank you so much for your special revelation that you have given us. Father, I pray that it will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if you're taking notes today, the first thing we're going to look at is we're going to see how wisdom is the strength we need to govern our thoughts, to govern our mouths, and to govern our actions. Second, wisdom makes us strong, but man, it's hard to find. And the last thing we will look at is wisdom is truly a gift from God. And the greatest of wisdom is the wisdom of God, which we see in God's word, is Christ. So the thesis statement today is this: though sin and the pattern of this world cause us to search for purpose in life under the S-U-N sun of God, in life under the S-O-N sun. So, number one, wisdom makes us strong. Solomon is urging us here, take hold of wisdom. If you take hold of wisdom, it won't make you strong. So if we look back at what he's been talking to us, or what he's showing us, is the preacher still, at this point, has not really solved anything. He does not have the answers that he has been looking for. Yet, even when he did not have the answers that he was looking for, even though he did not find what he was looking for, the preacher still wanted to know the right way to live. What is the right way to live? And so here in chapter 7, he's been praising the value of wisdom, and he's showing us all of its practical benefits. Now, wisdom literature in the scriptures, like Ecclesiastes and the book of Proverbs, they show us in many ways just how precious wisdom is. Wisdom is precious. Wisdom is a precious thing. Now, Stacy, I'm going to go through these a little quick, okay? So just hang with me here. In Job chapter 28, verse 18, coals of wisdom is far above rubies. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11, for wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 4. Wise words are like deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise like a bubbling brook. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12. Wisdom and money can get you almost anything, but only wisdom can save your life. And today, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 19, one wise person is stronger than 10 leading citizens of a town. So hopefully the word of God has convinced you as to how precious and how important wisdom is, and how we strive for wisdom as we strive to learn, that we seek knowledge, but not only that, but we seek to get understanding from the knowledge that the Lord gives us. Wisdom is precious, more precious than gold. So basically what he's saying is this: if you have a choice, wisdom or gold, That just doesn't seem like our culture today, does it? How many people in our culture do you think would be running after the gold? Wisdom is more precious than rubies. How many of us would run for the rubies? A handful of rubies instead of going for wisdom. So what is the picture here? He paints a picture here that I think is very important. Koheleth, Solomon, he paints the picture of 10 men who rule a city. And he wants us to understand the idea of strength in numbers, right? The more we have, the more men we have, the stronger we will be. The more leaders we have, the stronger we will be. And so he's wanting us to see, yes, if you have a city and you've got 10 leaders, that this city is pretty good. The city is pretty strong. But what he does here is he gives us a different picture. He says that one person with wisdom is stronger than that city. One person with wisdom is much better than a city with 10 rulers in the town. That he's saying that, yes, you think strength in numbers. You think that the more we have, the stronger we are. And Solomon is saying, no, all you got to do is have one person. So not only do we see that wisdom is something precious, but wisdom is something that's strong. One wise person has the strength of a well-governed city. So we see wisdom's strength, and the strength is that wisdom will govern. Wisdom will guide. Wisdom is the thing that guides our thoughts. It helps us to think in the right way, more so think in a God-centered way. That's what wisdom urges us. That's being wisdom strong. Wisdom even governs our wills so that we know the right choices that we need to make. That's being wisdom strong. Wisdom guards our mouths so that we know what to say and when to say it. Come on, husbands. Doesn't just matter what we say. It's very important that we understand the time and the place to say it. Whew. That's wisdom. Wisdom will govern our actions so that we know what to do in any and every situation. That's being wisdom strong. So you see, Solomon is wanting us to see that wisdom is something that we need to search for, that we give in order to gain rubies, to gain money, to gain strength. All the efforts that you're using to do that, you need to use those same efforts. Instead of looking for those things, go find wisdom. All that energy that you're burning for those things, you should be burning it to find wisdom. And then he gives us a good practical example as to how wisdom governs our actions and gives us strength to help us to be wisdom strong. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 21. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 21. Don't eavesdrop on others. You may hear your servant curse you. Now, Old Testament commentator Derek Kidner says that this is excellent advice. Excellent advice. Hopefully you're thinking when you heard that, this is excellent advice. Since to take too seriously what people say of us is asking to get hurt, and in any case, we have all said some wounding things in our time. See, I think for many of us, we can think of times in our life, moments in our life where we had the opportunity to overhear people talking without them knowing you were there. I'm sure there was a time in your life where that happened. So for me, when this opportunity comes up all the time is when people accidentally call me. This happens all the time. They accidentally call me. I can hear them talking to somebody and the phone is on. And I'm like, hello? Hello? And then you hear, you know, let me tell you something about Pastor Shane's sermon today. And it's like, here's the moment. Here's the opportunity for you to hear what they really think. moment for us to eavesdrop. This happens all the time. But let me tell you something. Over the years, I just won't do it. It doesn't matter. I pick up the phone, I hear somebody, they're all talking. I don't want to know. I always just click. They'll call back if they need to. If that was an accident, I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any of that stuff. I just can't do it. And if you look, at the situation, Solomon is saying the same thing. Don't do it. Don't eavesdrop. Don't listen. And there's something very, very profound with what he's saying here. Don't listen. Use wisdom. Wisdom will help you to be strong in these situations. And you know what wisdom is telling you? Don't listen. Where, you know, I didn't know about meetings that even church leaders or the elders and the deacons had. You know, and I remember there was a couple of times in Hawaii, they were having these secret meetings, and of course they were talking about the pastor and all this stuff, and I would walk in, and I'd be like, ooh, and they're all, and I go, oops, you guys talking about me? All right, I'll see you guys later. Click, boom, done, go. Just go. Don't even entertain it. Don't even think about it. And I know that a lot of us, that maybe the tendency inside is like, you know, I just want to know. I want to know what they really think. And if they're saying bad things about me, I want to know that that person is saying bad things about me. I want to know these things. And Solomon is saying, use wisdom. We may not have servants that curse us today, but I'm telling you, sooner or later, we are bound to hear somebody saying something about us that might be unkind and it might be untrue. And I think for many of us, it's just like, well, I just don't want them. I mean, if they want to say bad things about me, that's fine. But I don't want to say things that are not true. You know, I think that's for a lot of us. It's like, I just can't take the not true stuff. You know, I don't want them getting away with lying about me. And then a lot of times we hear these types of things, and normally our first reaction, if we actually, that person lied to me. He said my sermon was awesome. And we get angry and we get frustrated. And what Solomon is saying is use wisdom here. What we ought to do, or what we should do instead, is to let it go. Know that it was never intended for us to hear anyway, and may well have been spoken in a moment of weakness or misjudgment. Let it go. They may be saying things that they didn't mean. They may be saying things because they were upset, saying things because they were hurt. So Solomon is urging us here. Don't eavesdrop. Don't listen. Don't take that into consideration. It's foolish for us to do this. The French theologian and philosopher Blaise Pascal, he wrote this: if all men knew what each said of the other, there would not be four friends in the world. Wisdom tells us we must be careful not to take too much interest in what other people say about us. That is being wisdom strong. Wisdom will make us strong in these types of situations, because it's these types of situations to do the right thing. Wisdom will make us strong. It teaches us how to know what to hear and what to ignore, especially when it comes to criticism. You know? It's just, in our culture today, we don't like criticism. We struggle with criticism. People always saying stuff. Even when people aren't criticizing, we think they're criticizing. We're sensitive to the criticism that we have to deal with all the time. And what Solomon is urging us to is to use wisdom. Don't be overly concerned about what other people say. That is being wisdom strong. And you know what? Solomon is helping us to see some light in this, helping us to see how wisdom will permeate the false ideologies of society. It teaches us not to take offense, but to respond in gentleness and grace. Family, let me tell you something. For people to do that, that's strength, man. Do you imagine that? Somebody just criticizing you, putting you down, saying things that are unkind, saying things that are not fair, and you're able to look at that individual and be kind. and gentle and loving. People might say, well, no, I don't know, Shane, that sounds weak to me. No, that is serious strength to be able to insult me at all. In fact, he was talking about another man he might have thought was me. That's wisdom strong. Still not convinced? Solomon continues. And you know what? He continues with the best. I love this. The question is, what about you? Doesn't he go there? What about you? I bet your words are not always as charitable either. Isn't that what he's saying here? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 22. Ecclesiastes 7, 22. For you know how often you yourself have cursed others. Man, it's true. To our own shame, we all have probably said things behind people's backs that we would never dream of saying to their face. Come on, family, let's be honest today. We've got to be honest. It's not going to impact us if we're not honest. Sometimes I think we have spoken out of frustration or anger and said things that we didn't mean. And after we said it, we know that, you know, it was only after we had a chance to calm down. You know that sometimes we speak too soon, acting as judge and jury in a situation we know nothing about. I'm sure there's those times that we've had where we have fallen short, said things that were unkind, said things that were not fair, said things that were not true. What we've got to understand, family, is this. Much of our criticism, many times, display more about what's wrong with us than what is wrong with someone else. Listen to our criticism. When it comes time for us to be critical, when we're starting to say things and we're starting all this stuff, does it not? I mean, I think about times, and I reflect on this. I think about times, and it's like you go back to this and you think, well, you know what? Does this not actually display more about what's wrong with me than what's wrong with this individual? That's being wisdom strong, recognizing what's true. And before we get to the place where we're going to judge, before we get to the place, before we step into that direction, we need to recognize what Solomon wrote here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. Ecclesiastes, earth is always good and never sins. So you hear somebody saying stuff, you want to get angry, you want to get frustrated. Solomon is urging us, hey, you know what? Number one, remember, you yourself has probably said some things that you shouldn't have said. And remember, there's not a single person on earth who is always good and never sins. Wow, never sins. Well, that kind of, there goes the whole idea of, you know, we're not sinners. Blew that up. Because the Bible also says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let me say that again. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is an important truth that we get. I mean, I've had several people throughout the 25 years of ministry, I guess now, that I've been in contact with. There are people out there that believe that they don't sin, believe that they're not sinners. It blows me away. And I remember an individual confronting me on that. Just like, you know, I don't sin, and you need to stop telling people that they sin and all this stuff. And it just blah, and it went on. And I just was, came to mind is Ecclesiastes chapter 7:20. That's great, but how do you deal with not a single person on earth is always good and never sins? Well, that doesn't apply to me. Okay, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, that doesn't apply to me. Okay, you know, As a Christian, you know, we don't sin. Jesus knew that we wouldn't sin. And I would be like, Jesus knew that after we became Christians, we would never sin. And she's like, she's like, yes. And he knew that. And I'm just like, oh, that's really interesting that when Jesus taught us to pray, he told us to say to the Lord, forgive us our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive those. So I'm just like, okay, well, it seems to me like Jesus kind of thought that we would still be sinning. This is just very important because we've got to understand this. The reason why Solomon is putting this in this chapter and this whole train of thought is he needs to get us to understand our fallenness. He needs to get us to understand. Wisdom is trying to get us to understand how far we have fallen. So when we put ourselves in a position of being a judge and judging somebody for saying something bad about us, putting us in a position to judge somebody for saying something untrue about us, he's wanting to remind us. Wisdom is reminding us. Better off than this individual, stop it. We need to stop doing that. Stop comparing yourself to all of these things and recognize who you are before God. You know, because of what's going to happen. So I don't know how much of you guys actually know this. There was a guy by the name of Todd, a pastor by the name of Todd Wilkin, who runs a radio program called Issues Etc. And here's the thing that's really interesting. I remember I'm here and I'm mowing the lawn. I can remember mowing the lawn, and I'm listening to Todd interview Ted Haggard. Okay, so this is back when I'm mowing lawn and I'm listening to him, and they started to talk about the issue of sin, and Ted Haggard went off on Todd about how don't you ever tell anybody that they're sinners. And then Todd was just kind of like, oh, well, that's interesting. He goes, do you sin? And he goes, no, I absolutely do not sin. And then he goes, do you sin? And Todd says, wow, I sin all the time. And Ted Haggard said, well, stop it. And Todd was like, well, I'm having a really hard time talking about all these things that he needs to do to stop sinning. And Todd was just like, so you're being serious. Like, you don't believe you sin? And Ted was like, no. Do you know what happened 2 weeks after that interview? Was when everything came out. It was absolutely amazing. It blew my mind. I was like, ah. So we got to be careful of where we are. We got to be careful of what we think. We got to be careful about recognizing who we are. And you know what the problem is, family? The problem is, and I think that this is something that we've got to constantly remind ourselves when it comes to this. When it comes to our righteousness, you know when we start to think, well, you know what, am I a good person? Am I doing good? Do you know what we often do is we compare ourselves to other people. Isn't that what we do? We think, I'm a good person. Well, why do you think that you're a good person? Well, because I'm not like those guys over there. I don't rob, I don't steal, I don't kill. I'm not like those murderers out there. I'm not that. So when you compare yourselves to others, you think, ah, I'm doing pretty good. But you know what we're supposed to do when it comes to righteousness? We don't compare ourselves to others. We compare ourselves to the law of God. It really matters. Compare yourself to God. Oh, when you compare yourself to God's law, oh, now that's different. Now we're not feeling so good. See, here's the thing he's saying. We got to remember that we all fail to meet God's standard. Here is one of those, you know, who might think, again, coming into this place where we deceive ourselves. And what Solomon is saying is use wisdom. Wisdom will tell you, stop looking at things the way you wish they were, and look at things the way they are. Man, that's wisdom. Wisdom teaches us that we ought to let our own sinful words remind us not to take what other people say to heart, but we need to make allowances for them. offering them the same grace that we ourselves need so often. That's being wisdom strong. Remembering that our criticism many times display more about what's wrong with us than what's wrong with someone else. That's wisdom strong. You want to see this at work? All you got to do is look at Titus chapter 2, verses 2 to 5, or Titus chapter 3, verses 2 to 5, Titus 3, 2 to 5. They must not slander anyone. Humility to everyone. And what does he say? Once we too were foolish and disobedient. You see what he's saying here? We were that way. We did the same thing. We were misled and became slaves to our many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when our God and Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. Man, I think our posture as Christians today, as the people of God, remember our posture needs to be mercy. James makes it very clear, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy, family. Okay, number two, the search for wisdom. So he showed us that wisdom was strong. But now he's going to tell us that, yes, wisdom is strong, but man, it's hard to find. I mean, look at this. No sooner has Solomon spoken about wisdom's strength that he tells us how hard wisdom is to find. Here was a man who dedicated his whole life to the pursuit of wisdom. He searched long, he searched hard for the meaning of life. And we see here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses, tried my best to let wisdom guide my thoughts and actions. I said to myself, I am determined to be wise, but it didn't work. Wisdom is always distant and difficult to find. I searched everywhere, determined to find wisdom and to understand the reason for things. I was determined to prove to myself that wickedness is stupid and that foolishness is madness. Think about it, family. Has any man ever made more serious attempt to understand the meaning of life than Solomon? And he did this whole thing, this whole search, and he's saying here that it didn't work. He failed to find wisdom that he spent his whole life trying to find. Some of you may be thinking, what? What? I mean, at this point, it almost seems like as if the whole book of Ecclesiastes might actually end in failure. The way he's talking here. He's looking for wisdom that he cannot find. He still hasn't found what he's looking for. The search continues. And I love it. This is not just Solomon. This is throughout history. Derek Kidner, seriously, I mean, you know, some of you know that my undergrad study was in philosophy, and every philosopher that I can think of ends with some kind of conclusion like this. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I mean, look at Horace. Horace wrote, life's short span forbids us to enter on far-reaching hopes. Nada. The search continues. Since we talked about Pascal, let's talk about Pascal some more. He says this, when I consider the short duration of my life, swallowed up in the eternity that lies before and after it, when I consider the little space I fill and I see, engulfed in the infinite immensity of spaces of which I am ignorant and which I know me not, I rest frightened and astonished, for there is no reason why I should be here rather than there. Who put me here? Why now rather than then? In other words, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And you know what? I don't think I ever will. The search continues. Sooner or later, family, everyone on this search, the search for meaning. What is the meaning of my existence if there's any meaning at all? And they ask the question over and over and over again. I search hard for wisdom. And we're digging deep for the purpose of life. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. The search continues, and I'm worried that I never will. So should we just give up? Do we give up on the apparent soap on the rope and scapegoats? The answer, nope. I mean, I guess we could, like many have, right? I mean, isn't that, I mean, we talked about this, about just how devastating this suicide rate in our world is right now. You know, where we saw even in Great Britain how suicide is the number one cause of death for those that are between the ages of 25 and 65, I think. It's bad. I mean, and they all say the same thing. They've searched and searched for purpose, the why, what's all this about. They said they still haven't found what they're looking for. And then the moment that it happens, they come. I revisit this. I go back to this, you know, and as I'm getting ready for this morning, I'm just going back to the thinking about the back and forth paradigms of life's ultimacy. And you know what the problem is that, you know, initially we want to search for happiness. We want a life that's happy. And so throughout all of history, when it comes to life and it comes to trying to find out the meaning of life and everything like that, in the end, it always comes back to this. It's better to strive to live a meaningful life instead of a happy life. So that's the recommendation the world and everyone is giving. Look, at the end of the day, here's the deal. We need to strive to live a meaningful life, get the life that has meaning, not the happy life. But here's the problem. The reason why we're struggling with this today is the same thing that Solomon has come to the conclusion of. It's like, okay, I won't chase happy, I'll chase meaning. And what does Solomon say? I have searched and searched and I've looked everywhere, and the conclusion is all is meaningless. So we're supposed to, okay, I'm supposed to get a meaningful life. But here Solomon is saying that everything is vanity. All is vanity. All is meaningless. So what will we ever find? One scholar writes this. The best alternative is to admit that we do not have all the answers, but believe that God does. Isn't this what we have before us? It's to believe that God does. And then wait for whatever wisdom he provides. That in the end, Solomon says, after the conclusion, I'm giving you guys the conclusion here, the conclusion, after all, has been heard. Fear God. Keep his commandments. God. This is the way of faith. What theologians will call learned ignorance. We should try as hard as we can to understand the meaning of life, but we should also be content to confess that there are some mysteries, there are some things that we will never understand. But you know what? I'm okay with that because I know the Lord understands. And the Lord is good and he's merciful and his love endures forever. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. If the issue is God just 'cause? Are we okay with that? Knowing the limits of wisdom is part of wisdom. That's being wise. Being able to say, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, a lot of times my kids come and ask me questions and I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe ask God when we get to heaven. The more we know, family, the more we should realize how little we know. And that whatever wisdom we gain comes as a gift from God. Comes as a gift from God. The little we know, the wisdom we gain comes as a gift from God. You know, and that's hard. I think that's hard. It's a hard one for us to swallow because we've got to know. We want to know. We're curious. We got to know. We want to know. We want to know. But you know, the thing is that just, it's absolutely extraordinary, and I know I say this all the time, but this is what's absolutely extraordinary to me, is like, there are questions that we want answers for. That, do you realize, Christian, that today, you know, it's like, hey, you know, that, you know, I don't understand the Trinity. The Trinity is a mystery to me, and, you know, I guess we're not going to understand that until we go to heaven, we ask God, and God tells us. Do you know what I need us to understand? Is that even when we go to heaven, even when we're in glory, even when we're standing before God, we will probably never, ever understand the Trinity. It's too much. The Trinity is all about who God is. He is an infinite, eternal, a divine, righteous, awesome, holy being. And us, a creation, a creature, is supposed to understand what that means? You know, like I say all the time, it's like, you know, if you think of, like, now, and then you think of, like, living forever. Like, for me, I can kind of ponder living forever. Can you? I mean, just, it's just going to be like this, and it's not going to stop, right? Just, I'll live forever. That's living forever. I can understand the present. I can understand now because it's just now. Do you know the one thing that absolutely blows my mind when I think about God? It's not living forever. It's not the foreverness. You know, the veins in my brain. Well, I couldn't pop veins in my brain because that would be a stroke. But the thing that just blows my mind is thinking that he always was. Like, there was never a beginning. Let me think about that. There was never a beginning. He always was. And you like look this way and it's just like, I can't understand that. The reason why I can't understand that is because I'm not that. I had a beginning. It's hard for me to even understand and understand even history. I think that's why I'm so fascinated with history. It's like all of that stuff happened before I was even born. It's the limits of wisdom that shows us the true beauty of God. It's the limits of our understanding of God that only confirm to me he's God. That's wisdom. That's understanding not how we want things to be. It's understanding how things are. And that we're okay with that. Wisdom is a gift from God. Do you realize how sin and everything in this world has messed wisdom up? Do you realize how many times you listen to things and people, the smart people in the world, are saying, like, that is the most ignorant thing I've ever heard? How many of you guys have seen things like that where people have put in a lot of work, a lot of effort? I'm kind of going to kids, our kids, right? And then they think through, they've talked through, they've done their research, they did all their homework, and they come to this conclusion. And you're just like, no! No! It's not okay to burn your dog with a magnifying glass. No, I don't care how much thought you put into it. I don't care what the rationale. See, what I'm saying is a lot of things that today in our world we see is wisdom, it's nothing but foolishness. We needed God to show us. We needed God to give it to us. We needed God to reveal that to us. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why we have the Bible, Ecclesiastes, and the Proverbs. They're gifts from God. The Word is a gift from God. Our life is our breath is a gift from God. All good things are a gift from God. So today what I'm saying is that if you're searching and if you're looking, the search is over. Because not a single person on earth always does good and never sins. Wisdom more and more becomes distorted and foggy, leads to deception, where what we believe is wisdom is actually foolish and evil. This is the problem with sin. It distorts reality. Sin continues to show us that we needed the Lord to show us. Sin made us more and more lost. The more we tried to find our way, the more lost we became. The more we searched for wisdom apart from the Lord, all we found is vanity. All we found is meaninglessness. The more we searched for happiness apart from the Lord, all we found was emptiness. And sin infected us all. The wages of sin is death, and that was our future. Eternal condemnation facing the wrath of God. Slaves to foolishness and wickedness. But family, the Lord gave us a gift, did he not? What an amazing gift of wisdom he gave. And the true wisdom of God is Christ. And that's why I say the search is over. Because Christ has come. Our Lord has come into this world. Our wisdom of God has come into this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, 1 Corinthians 1, 30, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to Christ is wisdom. That's why I love this passage of scripture, because I always get, you know, some of those guys that are always challenging me about, you know, Christ is everywhere in the Bible, and be like, oh yeah, well, you know, well, how about Proverbs, Shane? You telling me Proverbs is all about Christ? Proverbs is all about Christ because Proverbs is Christ. It's the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What a wonderful Lord, our God, who did not spare us his Son. The promised salvation of God came. Wisdom itself came. And Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. Family, remember and always remember that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he was raised on the third day, all according to the scriptures. That is the gospel of Jesus. And family, you know what? The promises continue. Promise continues. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Family, wisdom in this sense is not hard to find. Why? Because Christ is here. He came. He died. He rose. Father, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. I love it. So the answer is there. The answer is here. Purpose, meaning, life, happiness, joy. It's all here because we find it in Christ and in Christ alone. And I know that Jesus is sitting at the right-hand throne of the Father, and so I know some of you might be thinking, well, you don't want Shane, you're saying Christ is here. You know why I say Christ is here? Because Christ absolutely 100% identifies himself on earth with his church. When Paul was persecuting the church, Jesus said, hey, Paul, why are you persecuting me? It's here. The answer's here. Words are here. Christ is here. So again, wisdom in this sense, Christ is not hard to find. Christ is calling us today to come to him. Christ will make us strong by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christian, today I can say that you have truly found what you've been looking for. The search is over.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.